the gas giant had nothing like the majesty of Saturn. It was too drab, too listless. Even the storm bands lacked ferocity. Dimasio and the two void hawks had emerged above the South Pole, insignificant on such a scale, one dull speck and two coal-black motes, falling with imperceptible slowness as the gravity field tugged at them. Syrinx opened her mind to Chi, combining Inone's perceptual awareness with the weapons officer's knowledge of their combat wasp's performance capabilities, her nerves stretching over a huge volume of space, making a far-off body tremble in reaction. The Dimasio started to transmit a simple radio code, beaming it down towards the gas giant. Given their position, there would be no overspill falling on the populated inner system, Syrinx realized. No chance of being detected even in a few hours when the radio waves finally bridged the gulf. An answering pulse flashed out from something in orbit around Kirchhoff, well outside Inone's mass detection range. The source point began to move, vaulting out of its orbit at 5 G's. Inone couldn't detect any infrared trace, and there was no reaction drive exhaust. The radio signal cut out. A Blackhawk! The thought leapt between the Edenists on both Voidhawks, a shared frisson of glee. "It's mine," Syrinx told Thetis, on singular engagement mode. She hadn't forgotten how the last Blackhawk had given them the slip. It rankled still. "Oh, come on," he protested. "Mine," she repeated coolly. "You get all the glory nabbing that actual antimatter. What more do you want? The next Blackhawk we come across is mine." "Of course," she cooed. Thetis retreated, his subconscious grousing away. But he knew better than try and argue with his sister when she was in that mood. "We're going after it?" Inone demanded. "We certainly are," she reassured it. "Good. I didn't like losing that last one. I could have matched its swallow." "No, you couldn't. That was 19 light-years. You'd damage your patterning cells trying to emulate that. 15 light-years is our limit." Inone didn't answer, but she could sense the resentment in its mind. She had almost been tempted to try the larger than usual swallow, but fear of injuring the Voidhawk held her back. That and the prospect of stranding the rest of the crew in deep space. "I would never harm you or the crew," Inone said gently. "I know, but it was annoying, wasn't it?"
"Very."
The Blackhawk rose up out of the ecliptic plane in a long, graceful curve. Even when it slowed to rendezvous with the Dimasio, the two waiting Voidhawks couldn't discern its shape or size. They were 30,000 kilometers away, too far for optical resolution, and the slightest use of the distortion effect to probe it would have given them away. Both target craft used their radios when they were 5,000 kilometers apart, a steady stream of encrypted data. It made tracking absurdly easy. Inone's passive electronic sensor array triangulating them to half a meter. Syrinx waited until they were only 2,000 kilometers apart, then issued the order to interdict. "Hold your location," Inone bellowed across the affinity band. It detected a mental flinch from the Blackhawk. "Cancel your acceleration. Do not attempt to initiate a swallow. Stand by for rendezvous and boarding." Gravity surged back into the crew toroid, building with uncomfortable speed. Inone and Greer streaked in towards their prey at 8 G's. Inone was capable of generating a counter-acceleration force of 3 G's around the crew toroid, which still left Syrinx subject to a harsh 5 G's. Her toughened internal membranes could just about take the strain, but she worried that the Blackhawk would try to run. Their crews nearly always used nanonic supplements, enabling them to withstand much higher acceleration. If it developed into a straight chase, Inone's crew were going to suffer, especially Reuben and Oxley. She needn't have worried. After Inone's affinity shout, the Blackhawk folded in its distortion field. But she was keenly aware of the sudden anger colouring its thoughts, presumably echoing those of its captain. There was a name, too, or rather an insistence of identity. Vermudin. Greer was broadcasting a radio message at the Dymasio, the same demand to maintain position.